What are some of the most amazing files you've come across then from your searches in the FBI's archives from the Freedom of Information Act?
Well, one of the things is like one of the reasons, like, for example, the NFL can say we've never had a game fixed is because they've never been able, the FBI, for example, has never been able to prosecute anybody for this. Okay. Now, in one file I got, for example, is I think it's from like 1967 or 68 and involved the New England Patriots when they were members of the AFL right before the merger.
Right.
But in this file, it talks about how it was three or four players, and again, these can be somewhat hard to decipher because of the redactions, but three or four Patriot players found a third party who was in Las Vegas who was going to lay bets down for the Patriot players against the Patriots. Okay, so they're basically betting the Patriots to lose, even though they were members of the Patriots.
Right.
This third party, for whatever reason, basically backed out and never made the bet, like literally like 48 hours before the game. Something spooked him. He didn't make the bet. The Patriots went on to actually lose that game and lose it significantly. Okay, so it clearly looks like Patriot players were betting on themselves to lose. They went out, even though they didn't get this third party to do it, they lost the game anyway. And the FBI had all this information leading up to before the game and some of it after the game. But because, and this is right in the FBI's file, because this third party, their kind of source, never made the bet, no crime was committed, so the FBI never investigated any further.
So it wasn't even a crime for them, and I could see this, where it wasn't illegal for them as players to place a bet against themselves. It would have violated league rules, however.
Well, it would have violated the law had they made this bet and then basically intentionally lost, because part of the sports bribery thing is basically if you make a bet, you know, how would you put it? It's if you make a bet with a third party like this, it would have broken the Sports Bribery Act, but because this person never made the bet, there was no law broken, so the FBI closed the case.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that according to the law, there was intent to break the Sports Bribery Act law isn't in and of itself against the law, but according to the league rules, that would have been a violation. Whether reaching out to find somebody to place a bet would have been a violation. Was there any, do we know if the NFL took any action against those players?
No. Well, of course, at this time it was the AFL, but I've never seen anything about the AFL doing it. But there are games in the NFL that similar things have occurred. And numerous times, a lot of this was from the 60s and early 70s, the FBI knew ahead of time, like they heard one in the 1966 or so, about a Rams player. And I think, again, in 69, it might have even been the same Rams player, that they had the information ahead of time that the Rams were going to lose, that this guy was betting against the Rams. Sure enough, the Rams lost, and lost by a ton. And again, because the FBI couldn't prove it, closed the case.
They couldn't prove that he had actually successfully placed the bet. They had just heard a bet was placed by a Rams player.
And that's the problem with the FBI. And I've talked to a former FBI agent about these sorts of files and these things. The hard thing is there is no physical proof of these things. Normally, it's not the player going into a casino and laying down money against his team. He's betting it through a beard, as they would call it, or somebody else who does it for them. And if the FBI doesn't have physical proof, which there really isn't any physical proof, if they don't have wiretaps, which are very hard to get, especially when they get this information literally, you know, a couple of days before the game because they find chips or something like that, there's nothing for them to go on unless somebody confesses to it.
Huh.
And that's how the NFL can say, we've never had a game fixed because nobody's ever confessed to it, and the FBI can't prove it beyond reasonable doubt.
And they just don't happen to be lucky enough to have an FBI agent sitting at the bar when that bartender representing a bookie takes the bet from that particular player.
Exactly. And there's interesting, too, in one of these files, for example, and this is from the 1970s, the FBI had information that a player on the Atlanta Falcons was basically paid $100,000 by somebody in organized crime to control the point spreads for that person. And again, the FBI couldn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Case got closed.
But that's a chunk of money. I would think they would be able to just have been able to have tracked that. Because, right? I mean, if you're talking about a deposit of that kind of significance or any type of, I mean, that's not chump change.
No.
To get that kind of money to throw a series of games, You think that would have shown up in somebody's, you know, either bank statements, or they would have been able to tell just by, you know, changes in spending patterns. Because what year are we talking about for the Falcons player?
I think it was in the late 70s, like around 75, 77, somewhere.
And you said $100,000?
$100,000.
Okay, that was a lot for a player even back then. You know, that would have doubled somebody's salary very likely back in the 70s. Give me another example of what you found in the FBI's files through FOIA that backs up your claim that there has been manipulations in the final scores in these professional sports leagues.
Well, one thing that doesn't say really the manipulation of a final score, but talks about how the leagues actually operate, is there was a file from the 1983 dealing with the NBA and specifically the Atlanta Hawks, where the player they were talking to and investigating literally said that he knows that the league was paying money, large sums of money, to keep criminal acts by their players quiet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And the league was paying it?
Yes, the league was basically paying people off to keep stories quiet.
And they were paying to professional journalists, they were paying to independent journalists, they were paying to whom?
It didn't specify.
Huh.
He just said that he knew that the league was paying people off to keep certain stories quiet.
The NBA would, I don't know how they'd be able to keep up with it anymore. I mean,
well, yeah, it's true. In today's age, it might be a little different.
Yeah, maybe back in 1983, they could keep the genie back in the bottle, but...
Exactly. Well, one other thing, too... coming out of these, they didn't really come out of these files, but something that I think kind of backs up this whole situation here with these files is there's a man by the name of Michael Frances, who used to be a capo in the Colombo crime family.
Okay.
And he got out of the mob, became a born-again Christian, and he goes around now and he talks a lot about sports gambling. And in fact, here's where it gets interesting, he's been hired by the NFL, by the NBA, Major League Baseball, a lot of NCAA teams to talk to players about the dangers of gambling and sports gambling specifically, and about what to look out for and how not to get involved in potentially fixing games. And the interesting thing is the reason they hired this man is because he has fixed games in the past.
But he can't if they say they've never been fixed.
That's the exact
how do they,
point.
How are they sending him out with any credibility? Shouldn't they be calling this guy a liar?
Exactly.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Exactly.
Okay.
But they're hiring this guy, and he's been hired by numerous teams, and you can go on his own website. He has a website, and he just says which teams he's worked for and talked to, and that's exactly the ironic part, is supposedly they've never had a game fixed, but yet here they're hiring a guy to talk to players about how not to fix the game.